Hallelujah. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord God, that it would open up our eyes to help us to know you better, and God, to see you working in each one of our lives as we go through our day and week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul is telling us that the kingdom of God is not just words. It's not just words, but it's in power. It's in power. The Apostle Paul, in that same early part of that book, he actually says, I didn't come to you in words, in fancy words of human wisdom, but I came to you in demonstration and power. Last week, and I was going to minister on something totally different, and quite honestly, the events of last night and just praying through the Jacksons and the Mitchells were at a pastoral minister's retreat in Pennsylvania. And so as I was doing a lot of praying the last couple of days for our church and things of that nature, I was really just sensing the Holy Spirit just having me just move back and tag back a little bit on what Reverend Sue Shield was ministering on. He was talking about knowing God to the point that we bring that power.
Yes.
Now this morning, both in pre-service prayer and in our service, we spoke about, actually, God, bring revival again. And sometimes when we pray, Lord, bring revival, we're acting like it's something out here that comes and invades our life or invades a church. We hear of people who go to these revivals that are extended, you know, extended services, and all of that's great. I'm not negating any of that. But sometimes our mindset and our thought process is that's out here. And when revival comes, we'll kind of know it. And when I read the scripture, I realize something very, very important. And that is that we are the carriers of revival. Now, the early church, they were called Christ followers. And in fact, Christian became kind of a derogatory term at first. It wasn't just a label that you slapped on somebody. It was, you were a Christ follower. People knew you by your life, by how you lived. In fact, in the book of Acts, we see when the disciples, actually, let's go ahead and turn there. When the disciples actually were first following Jesus, and now that he's ascended into heaven, the day of Pentecost came. And after the day of Pentecost, we see something that is really interesting. We see that the disciples actually they actually had a boldness about them. They had something that I mean just arrested them. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know about your story. I can tell you about my story. Mm-hmm. And my story is when I became a serious follower of Jesus, I had an encounter with God. I had an encounter with God that changed the trajectory of my life. I had an encounter with God that took me from being more introverted in the sense, introverts are not bad people. I'm married to one, they're awesome. And it's her birthday, by the way. I wasn't supposed to say that, but it's okay. Introverts are awesome. But when the power of God comes on an introvert, they will speak the words that God has them speak. And they will do things that otherwise they would normally not do. And so this morning, I want to challenge you, whatever place you are in your walk with God, when it says the kingdom of God is not just in word, but it is in power. It's in power. Now, Reverend Sushil actually, he talked about some that testimony of him wanting to murder his father. I mean, he literally wanted to murder his father. And the power of God and him actually coming to know Christ, the power of love, made the difference. It made the difference. Right now, more than ever in our nation, we need God's people, the ones who are called by his name, the ones who are Christ's followers, to demonstrate the power of God. The power of God comes through love. It is a supernatural thing. When he spoke to us and told us that when I'm talking about Reverend Sushil, when he actually spoke to us and talked to us about the young man that was trying to argue Christianity, and he's like, this isn't going anywhere. Let's go to bed. And his wife wouldn't let it go. You know, a Holy Ghost person, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, sometimes you know when to let go and you know when to keep going. And his wife knew to keep going. And then the Holy Ghost came down and the power of God came down and he looked at the individual who was a lot bigger than him and said, you need to get saved now. And the individual got up. I'm just recalling some of these stories because they illustrate what I'm trying to tell you today. The power of God is essential for us as with us, that power. And so he confronted the individual. The individual got up from the chair and started toward Reverend Sushil and then literally melted in the presence of God. That's the power of God. The power of God that can break chains, that can break mindsets, that can come against intellectualism. He was ministering along the lines of trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and lean not unto your own understanding. We are so guilty of just leaning on our own understanding. Our own understanding all the time. We can do it in everyday things. We can very flippantly like a post on social media that maybe won't be the best witness for us. Just because you picked it up from another Christian website doesn't mean you need to like it. I'm just going to let that one out there. Okay. Now, Acts chapter 3, I'm talking about the power of God being demonstrated in our everyday lives. And notice what verse 1 says. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And verse 1 indicates to us that there was a regular pattern, say regular pattern,
regular pattern,
of these disciples. They had a regular pattern of spending time with God's people and the Word of God. They had a regular set time where they were in prayer, right? And notice what it says in verse 2. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. That's the power of God. The power of God literally is now invading that moment. Now this week, you're going to go through your life, your everyday life. Now we're reading the Gospels, right, as a church. Why? Because there is power from getting the Word of God constantly coming into our lives. We get away from the Word, we will get away from God. When we stop taking Word in, we will start thinking our own thoughts. We'll start leaning on our own understanding. We'll start making decisions based on this rather than being led of the Spirit of God and saying, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? And so as Christ followers, believers in Jesus, we carry with us this same power. And notice what happens. They said, look on us. Right? He said, look on us.
And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at
us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now, get the picture. The lame man, he's laid there every day. I imagine, and don't get upset with me now, I imagine Jesus walked by him before. Because it says here that he was laid there daily. This was not a new occurrence. This was his regular pattern. But for some reason, God decides to demonstrate his power through his disciples on this given day. Are you open for God to do something for in you?
Yes.
Are you open?
Yes.
For the power of God to come on you in unsuspecting places where it's not convenient, where people might even say things about you? Well, let's keep reading the story. Notice what happens. And Peter then said, silver and gold I don't have. Church, he had something.
Amen.
He had something.
Yes,
yeah. I don't know if you get this.
Hallelujah.
He had something.
Amen.
Church, my desire as your pastor is that when you walk away from this building every Sunday, that you get something that takes you, even if it's just for the next hour. I am believing that you have something when you walk away from this church just to go eat lunch, just to go to a to go and tend to your family business or spend time with. I am believing, God, that you have something so that when you run into the person that is looking, they're not looking for anything but something that is physical, but you have something that is far better, far more powerful, and far more eternal than what a couple of dollars in your pocket might have. You've got a word from God.
You've got a deposit from the Holy Spirit that makes a
difference. But church, most of the church walks around and lives their life as if they don't have anything. And instead, we lean to our own understanding.
And then we look to
culture, entertainment, politics, to somehow make a difference. Folks, that's not God's best plan. It's not God's best plan. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, he said, my citizenship is in heaven. So we should be bringing the currency of heaven to bear on the currency of the world. So we see what's happening here. He said, gold and silver I don't have, but
what I have, I give you.
I bring it. You bring revival to your neighborhood, to your family, to your loved ones. You bring the power of God. It's not up to God out here. It's up to you to walk in and you bring it.
Yes.
You bring it. And you say, well, I don't know. Time with God is the key.
Yes. Amen.
Time with him. Time within his word. Notice what ends up happening. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. There's something right there. He went with them. He went with them to the source. Church, when you've had an encounter with God, when you've had an impartation with God, and you bring it out on the street, you bring it in your neighborhood, at your workplace, that coworker that bugs you, and all of a sudden God says, humble yourself and go and do something for them. And you watch what God will do. You watch what God will do. Because you are a carrier of revival. So he leaped up and he walked with them. And where did he go? He went into the temple. He went into the temple. I say this. If you would take what has been deposited in you last week, this week, weeks to come, every time these doors are open, and you take that deposit and you pour it out and give it to somebody else, God will have no problem filling this house. Because they will walk with you into this place, and we won't be able to contain the people. The power of love, the power of God to heal, the power of God to restore, the power of God to forgive. That's the message I want to bring to you today. And it comes from my heart that when we look at this story, and they, all the people, say all the people.
All the people.
That means this guy knew some people. People knew who he was. All the people saw him walking, praising God, and they knew that this was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And what happened? They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. Don't you think people will hang on to you?
Yes.
Think about that. Yes. Held on to them.
Yes.
If you've been lame, if you couldn't even care for yourself, and somebody comes along and raises you up, you'd be hanging on to them too.
Yes.
You'd be hanging on to them too. What's next? What else is going to happen? What else is going to happen? And it says this. And all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. People flocked to see what was happening. I've said this for years. A crowd generates a crowd.
Yes,
it does.
A crowd generates a crowd. And you know, it's summertime. So you're driving along on the road,
and there's an accident.
And it doesn't really block the lanes. But yet there's now traffic. Why? Because everybody's looking. We are the most curious people. God made us curious. We're curious. We want to see what's going on. What's going on over there? And so what do? We just end up slowing down. I want to see what's happening. I want to know what's happening. And now everybody else behind her, beeping the horn, you know. I mean, you can lock up traffic for hours. Right? And why? Because we're curious. We want to see. When you bring the power of God to your family, to your workplace, to your neighborhood, people will want to see. They want to see what is happening. And then, so all the people ran. And verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently as though by our own power or godliness, we, Abraham, Isaac,
and Jacob,
the God of our fathers,
glorified his servant Jesus,
whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And, I love this, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith, which comes through him, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your fathers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he was thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins would be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing will come from the Lord. And the boldness of these guys, that God does a miracle, a sign and a wonder, and now he... You have an opportunity not only to bring revival, but when God shows up, you have an opportunity to explain what just happened. Amen. That's the power of God. That's how much God loves you.
You have an opportunity to point
it right back to Jesus and say it's all about him. Amen. It's all about him.
Amen.
God has so much more for us if we would just step out. Step out. Church, step out. You have been given so much. We have teaching after teaching after teaching. We have seminars. We have books. We have Bibles of various flavors and translations. We have Christian radio. We have Christian TV. We have all these things. And God is saying, but what I've given you is so much greater than any of that. All of those things are good. I'm not against any of them. I use them. I'm happy to use them. But our time with God, to be able to bring revival, to be able to take the impartations that come directly from the Spirit of God and bring them to bear on our everyday life, on that person that bugs you at work. I've already said that, but for some reason that keeps coming up in my heart. Some of you might have some people that are just really bugging you. If that's you, you don't have to say, oh me. Okay? But maybe, just maybe, God would use you.
That's right.
If you would be like the prophet Isaiah, Lord, who's going to go in your name?
Right.
Here am I. Send me. God, if you want to manifest your power through me today, let it be so. God, if you are looking for me to be an instrument of your goodness. And you say, but this is so dramatic. And you know, Pastor, that might be your personality. That might be the extrovert's personality. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to be quiet. Listen, your quiet words can still hold the power of God and change somebody's life.
Right.
Your quiet words or greeting can do so much more than you can even dream or ask or think. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, God has more for you.
God has more for you.
He has more for you. He has more power. He has more. He has more impartations to give you. Every time you open the Word, every time you come together in a place like this to worship, to hear the Word of God, it should build you up so that you go out. Because there are people who, unless they encounter God out there, they're not going to necessarily come here to find Him. We want them to come here and find them. But we also know that the statistics tell us that people who are part of a local church were invited. Isn't that just so logical? The people who are part of a local church were invited. They literally were asked to come, fill this house, come fill this house, come fill this house. And notice what ends up happening. You know, persecution does happen. Things happen when there are miracles, signs, and wonders. Things happen. Religious people sometimes just, they get upset because they can't explain something. It didn't fit in their worldview, and so they kind of get upset. And we see that there was some persecution that ended up happening. And we noticed that not everybody wants to hear the gospel. Not everybody wants to actually, you know, do what the gospel says do, and that is to repent, turn from their way of thinking, and embrace God's way of thinking, embrace the love of God. And so now I want you to look at verse 33. And with great power, say power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. And so, that's Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. And so, when we're looking at these things, this is not just some dramatic thing that just happens. This is the power of God showing up in everyday life. Not just I'm going to live my life the way I want to, but Lord, what would you have me say today? What would you have me do today? And that's humility, when we embrace the word and say, God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? If we're praying for revival, if we're praying, God, fill this house, if we're believing God for a building for this church, we're believing, which we are, by the way, not if, we are. And all of those things, we're doing those things, we're believing God to double the size of this church by the end of the year. Then when we look at these things, we have to put action to the power. Faith is action. It's not just, well, God, you do it. God, you do it. And if you want it, it'll be. No. False religions actually teach, God, if you want it, it'll be. It's not a prayer that Christians should be praying. And you say, really? No, it's not. Why? Because he's revealed his word to us. And the word tells us in 1 Corinthians that all the promises of God are yes and amen. So when you find a promise in here, it's a promise, yes and amen. We actually read today out of 1 Timothy that it's God's will that all men come to know the knowledge of the truth. All men. That's his will. It's not, well, Lord, save so-and-so if you want to. No, it's God's will that they come to him. Now, they still have a choice. But we can pray. And we can pray, God, send forth a laborer, send forth a harvester, send forth somebody who can speak to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. You say, Pastor, how does this work in everyday life? Well, during our prayer retreat, there were a couple of times of prayer that we were filled with. We were in with a bunch of ministers, and we were just praying. And one of the things that Reverend Sushil was talking about was making sure that we are free, from unforgiveness. And I'm not going to tell you all my detail, but I'm going to give you a little snippet that God works these ways. So I was just praying, and I said, God, I don't want anything to hinder me hearing you, being able to be used by you, being able to see the power manifest like we just read in Acts chapter 4. God, I don't want anything hindering me. And so I just did something pretty natural. Say natural. I just went through a list of anybody that I even had an inkling of unforgiveness toward. Anybody. And as I was praying in other tongues, I knew I was bringing them up to the Lord. I could see their faces. And I was saying, Lord, I don't think I have unforgiveness toward that person. But if I do, I release them. I literally went through. I went all the way back. I've been in the ministry now almost 40 years. That means I've had opportunity to forgive people. I have opportunity to get hurt, disappointed, disillusioned, all of the above. And I just said, God, I'm just going to, yeah, I'm just, and I just literally, by faith, just started saying, Lord, I release this one. I release this one. And a couple times I'd stop and I'd start to pray in English. Just real quiet. Okay, Lord, I release that one. And then I'd just go back to praying another time. Okay, Lord, I release that one. And many of them, I know for sure I released them a long time ago. But what was I doing? I was just making sure that all the decks were cleared. And that there was nothing. And no sooner did I start doing that, God began to show me some things that are on my heart that I'm not going to share with you. But he began to show me some things. And it was powerful. And I began to just literally weep because God was showing me some things. I think he wanted to show me those things maybe earlier. But what was I doing? I was clearing the deck, saying, God, use me. I don't want anything. I don't want anything. I don't want anybody. I don't want anything getting in the way of me being able to be just like these disciples. Gold and silver have I not today. But what I have, I give you. I have the power of God. Because the kingdom of God is not just in word. Not bless you. Be at peace. Not, oh, I hope you're well fed. Just be well fed. Be well fed. Instead, what do I have? Can I give? Can I help? Can I have something? Can I give God something to work with? Can I literally step in and just say, okay, so I don't have the, I forget, how much is it per year for Reverend Sue Shield to run his Bible school? He runs his Bible school and it takes, because they have to literally house, feed, and provide all the housing, the feed, the books, everything. It costs them $75,000 for the year. For 4 to 5 months, they have to literally, you know, take care of these people. And many of them are poor, poor, poor. They have nothing when they come to the Bible school. And, you know, it's like they have nothing, but God pours back into them. And you just start with, what do? You start with a word from God. You start with what you have. You start with what you have. You get what you got. You do with what you have. You say, okay, God, this is what I can do. And so our leader, Reverend Sam Smucker, who's the leader over the entire Northeast region, all the ministers for the Rhema Ministerial Association, and he got up and he said, I just believe that we're going to put a dent in the $75,000. Because he knew that probably all the do $75,000, but he said, but we're going to do what we can do. We're going to do what we can do. And we're going to put a dent in that. What is that? Giving God something to work with. And that's what our lives should be about. God, I don't have enough up against what I'm facing, but what I do have,
I'm giving it to you.
That's faith in action. That's saying, okay, God, I'm going to be used by you in whatever circumstance I find myself in. Now this week, you have been given something. Not because I gave it to you, but because you were with God's people, you were in his presence. You have something to give.
That's right.
I'm not talking money here today. I'm talking about an impartation that comes from the Holy Spirit. That brings people to Christ, that demonstrates the love and the power of God. And that is what I wanted to bring to you today. As I was praying, this was not my original message I was going to bring to you. This was something that, as I was praying, in light of even last night's events, I just said, I felt like the Lord was redirecting what is so vital for us as believers to walk out into this culture, into this climate, into this situation right now, and we would be the ones who bring the power of God, bring the compassion of God, see God do miracles in our midst, see him break through mindsets and ideologies that are anti-God, and instead of trying to argue with people, or instead of just trying to politically just get in a tug of war, what if we just came in with the love of God? What if we came in with an understanding that I'm a citizen of heaven first? Woo, Jesus. That makes a difference. And that, I guarantee you, you're going to have opportunity this week. I want to hear about it. We've been talking about giving us praise and worship, praise reports, excuse me, and giving God. That's another thing. Give God something to work with your story. Because then it encourages other people to go do the same. It encourages other people to step out of the comfort zone of not saying anything and instead saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. Do what you want me to do. Say what you want me to say. Bring what you want me to bring to those that are around me. You never know who and what you're going to influence. And so I encourage you, you have what it takes to be used by God this week. Amen. I say, just look at your neighbor and say, there's more.
There's more.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that your word says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. And Father, this morning, Lord, we recognize it is the power of God that makes the difference. It's the power of God that sets people free. It's the power of God that changes and transforms a human life, that transforms us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to get to know God. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're watching online, you can do the same. We're going to pray in just a moment. But if there is anyone that if you were to die today and you don't know where you would spend eternity, I want you just to think about that for a second and say, if that's you and you don't know where you'd be, I want you to just raise up your hand and say, that's me. I want to receive Christ in my life. Is there anybody? You would say, I want to receive Christ. I want to receive Christ. Is there anybody at all? And maybe there's somebody here that you've known the Lord, but you've walked away and you've done your own thing. And you've kind of just left God in the background of your life. And he has not been the Lord of your life. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand and say, that's me. I want to come back to the Lord. I want to recommit my life and myself to him. Is there anybody here? Hallelujah. Well, it looks like we're all walking with the Lord. Praise God. And if you're watching online and you heard this message, we're going to just pray a simple prayer. You pray it with us. God will meet you right where you are. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. That he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead, and I call Jesus my Lord and Savior. I receive his forgiveness, and I receive a new life today, in Jesus' name. If that's you, we want to hear about it. If you prayed with us online, we want to send you some things to help you when we walk with God, perhaps help you find a good church that you can grow and learn about the things of God. Let's stand to our feet right now. And let's have our sending out verse that we speak over us, we pray over us, that this verse has great significance for us as a church family. There have been many times where we have averted disaster because we pray over you regularly for protection, safety. So let's say it out loud. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for coming. Let's fill this house now.